This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, a lineupmedia.fm production, and we are back finally.
Again, another 2 weeks.
Finally.
Down. Last week we were gone. Again.
Why don't you tell everybody what we had going on, man? What the hell was up with us for the last month?
So, a lot of our time has been spent with UGC. You guys know that. We beat that into your heads. That's what we do during the day. We had a big old tournament this last weekend. We ran a giant, the second largest ever Halo tournament.
But the largest in the last 10 years.
Is it the last? Nah, that's not true at all.
What are you talking about?
I think the DreamHack, the one that beat us by two, was like within a few years.
Halo 5 did not have a larger tournament than anything we did at
any which way.
Right. Okay.
Spent a lot of time working on that.
That's neither here nor there.
It's done. Thank God. We're back in studio this week. We've got a guest, one of our longtime listeners, favorite listeners. Been here since, shit, more or less the beginning.
Yeah,
as long as I can
probably
remember.
The beginning.
Probably
I don't
longer
know.
Than us. I
How don't long
know.
You been with us, Marissa?
Since the very beginning.
There it is.
I got to figure that's pretty much accurate.
Yeah, she sent us the...
It's in my truck right now. I meant to bring it in today. Remember the Surreal Talk thing that you crocheted up for us? I have that in my truck. I was going to bring it in and show it on the air.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, got all that.
She's been with us a long time. She's been popular in the chat, donated money to us. Fuck, we like Marissa. She's a definite good people. So.
Surrealite, for sure.
And she contacted us and wanted to know if we could collaborate, because she has a podcast. And I'm going to let you take it from there, Marissa.
All right. So my podcast is called The Queen's Table. It's more or less for black women, black women. But for some odd reason, the majority of my listeners are white men. I don't know. Whatever floats your boat.
Is Armand a listener?
I have no idea.
He will be soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just said you got four women. He'll just hear the numeral four women and be all over.
Yeah, you won't even think it's four women. It's,
that's right.
Oh, four chicks.
Yeah. Nah, sorry to interrupt you anyway.
He's such a fuckwad. No, I'm joking. We love him.
We assume that they can get your podcast at the regular outlets or?
Yes. Pretty much anywhere you can find your podcast. That's how you can find me. I'm on Spotify, I'm on iTunes, I'm on Google Play Music. Really, if you put The Queen's Table, Marissa J, in any search engine, it'll pop up.
Also, probably not for the live show, but feel free anytime you want to post your links in the group or whatever too. So,
okay, awesome.
How long have you been doing this? Because I've heard rumblings that you've had a podcast going for a while and you haven't posted anything in the group. I'm not gonna say I'm hurt by that, but I've been waiting to hear an official word about your show.
Okay, so the reason why I haven't posted anything about it is because I didn't know if this was something that I wanted to keep doing regularly.
Sure.
It had a really rocky start, and it's still pretty rocky. I'm still, you know, playing around with a lot of different things.
Rome wasn't built in a day, man.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
You should hear the first few episodes that we never released, the ones that we recorded, and we're like, holy shit, these are terrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
So maybe
one of these days that'll come out of the vault, but I doubt it.
Right.
So what are we talking about today, Marissa? Because I know you contacted me and had a subject ready to go. So.
Yeah. So since my podcast is about black affairs, I kind of figured we should do a show about black conspiracies that have been proven, a lot have been proven to be true. Some of them haven't been proven just yet, but I figured that would be a really, really good show because we don't, it's not really all mainstream, you know?
No, totally. I mean,
think we,
you hear a lot about like the Black Lives Matter movement and all the way stemming back from the 1960s with the Black Panther, and you know, the Black community continuously trying to bring themselves up, and you got to wonder if there is a systemic issue keeping them down. And after going through the multitude of research you provided in my own research today, I think we're going to come up with some interesting, not necessarily conclusions, but talking points for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I was a little worried about today, honestly, and if I can be quite honest, Marissa, because two white guys without you here talking about problems within the Black community is we're going to get roasted. Oh, I'm just going to be plain and, you know, honest with you about fair. We would have gotten just completely roasted. This is probably not a show.
Anyway,
yeah, we would have got roasted anyway. But this is probably not a show we could have done efficiently without you, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think that I could have done it justice without you guys, because you guys know so much more and know how to do your research.
I know shit.
On topics like this. I think you did pretty good. I think you guys did pretty good. So, I think both of us working on it together, we're going to come out with a pretty kick-ass show.
For the record, I'm just like donkey brain, basically. So.
That's true. He's donkey brained.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into it. Where do you guys want to start at?
Well, there's a lot here, but the title of I have of the doc is a little bit different than the show title. I have conspiracies against the Black community, and I wanted to start with Black genocide, genocide against African Americans. So I have this is actually an excerpt taken from somewhere, and I'll hand it off to you whenever it's time there, Marissa. But in the United States, Black genocide refers to the genocide of African Americans both in the past and in the present. The decades or centuries of lynchings and long-term racial discrimination were first formally described as genocide by a now-defunct organization, the Civil Rights Congress. In a petition to the United Nations in 1951, in the 1960s, Malcolm X accused the U.S. government of engaging in genocide against the Black people, citing long-term injustice, cruelty, and violence by whites against Blacks. Completely true. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to add in there that Malcolm X is working with the government to start shipping Black people back to West Africa. It's no secret that there wasn't any clear records. Like, we took these group of Black people from this, you know, area. So there wasn't any clear record, but he was working with the United States government on a program to ship African-Americans, Black people, back over to Africa. Now, a long time ago, there's a lot of back and forth on this, that Lincoln wanted to do the same thing, but that was a whole big thing. That was a whole big issue, but not really wanting to get into Lincoln right now, but with Malcolm X, that's something that he wanted to do, and he was a he was belonged to the Nation of Islam, and after his pilgrimage to Mecca, he came back saying, "Okay, this whole situation, we're gonna just completely ixnay on the Black folks back to Africa," because he saw over there that Black people and white people and Middle Eastern people and all different types of people could coexist. And once he saw that, he was like, oh, well, maybe we can change that here in America. He started working more closely with Dr. King and a bunch of other civil rights activists that wanted more people to coexist rather than to just break off.
So I have a question for you.
And that pissed a lot of people. Yeah, sure.
So just so that I'm clear on it, Malcolm X was working with the American government to ship people back to Africa, West Africa. But so, like, obviously their motivations for that would be completely different, wildly different.
Right.
Right. So Malcolm X being one, you know, true, trying to get people back to where they came from,
roots,
you know,
so
the roots. Yeah. The homeland and America, basically, if they were working with him, trying to help him with this and even funding it, that's like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, oh yeah, we'll help you. We'll get them all out of here. What the fuck, man?
Right. And, you know, with the United States government, their motive for wanting to do that was to get black people out of here. I mean, like, we're in the midst of the civil rights movement, you know, and there was a lot of shit going on. There was a whole lot of shit going down. And their thought process was, well, if they're not here, they can't, you know, like, really do shit, you know? There's not everyone's going to go. And the ones that stay, I mean, we would be very significantly the minority. So they're just like, fuck it, you know? Like, you guys want to go back? Cool, we're going to help you. Like, I'll help you pack your bags, get the fuck out.
This is just another example of COINTELPRO. This was noted in your research here, but COINTELPRO is something that's been going on for decades and decades, still goes on today. So what COINTELPRO is whenever the U.S. government attempts to infiltrate and subvert counter-political movements. So the Black Panthers, the
3%ers,
any of the civil rights, the female movement, the suffrage movement, any of that, they would attempt to derail them by either planting people in there.
They're sabotaging it regardless.
Basically,
that's
sabotaging.
COINTELPRO. You know what? I'm going to be honest. I was an idiot. I pronounced it COINTEL.
COINTEL, huh? It's COINTELPRO.
I get it.
But my point is this. This can be considered another tactic in that COINTELPRO to break down these movements like the Black Panther movement, the Muslim movement, and all of that. Just
for sure.
If it's not like completely dismantling it from the inside, it's just removing the members and doing whatever they can with them. It's the exact definition of it.
So some accusations of genocide have been described as conspiracy theories after President Johnson pushed through his war on poverty legislation, including public funding of the pill for the poor,
which is birth control,
which is the widespread use of birth control. Now, in the mid-60s, family planning or birth control was said to be black genocide. At the first Black Power Conference held in July of 67. So that's whenever, you know, they deemed it black genocide. Was at that conference. And in 1970, after abortion was more widely legalized, some black militants named abortion specifically as a part of the conspiracy theory. Most African-American women were not convinced of a conspiracy and rhetoric about race genocide faded. However, in 1973, media revelations about decades of government-sponsored compulsory sterilization led some to say that this was part of a plan for black genocide.
So that actually happened.
100% happened.
A lot of the sterilization you would see is basically a eugenics program that was carried out post-World War II. Pretty scary shit.
And, I mean, even before World War II, I think I went more into detail later on in the notes, but the Nazis said that they got their ideas from us, from America, and how Americans treated their own people, being black people here. Are like, you guys were the father of it. You know, we just kind of took it a little step further. But
in his quote, he actually praised America for doing what they wanted to do better than them. So that anybody wants to look that up, that's fact, 100%. Because of our eugenics programs, Hitler was impressed.
To say the least.
Yeah. And that's pretty fucked up.
Oh, yeah, definitely fucked up. Hitler was a terrible person.
Newsflash.
Yeah, that guy was fucked up. So during the Vietnam War, the increasing use of black soldiers in combat provided a basis for the accusation of a government-supported black genocide. So now we're not just talking about, you know, like the public doing this. This is a government.
I'd love to see some of the like actual facts and figures about what the black, you know, military population was compared pre-Vietnam, during Vietnam, and post-Vietnam. Because I can imagine it would be like the more or less the crest of the wave is during Vietnam, and it would go back down to where you quote unquote wouldn't need them in peacetime, so to speak. If this is a true systemic problem,
man, like they really probably could even rig the freaking draft. You know what I mean? Made it to where like if you're African American, your numbers got picked. You know what I mean? There's ways that they could have did this. This isn't far off. You know what I mean?
That was absolutely true. My uncle, he served in Vietnam twice. And the first time that he went, he was not legally able to go. He was 16 years old.
Did he volunteer for service?
He volunteered for services. He was also trying to run away from some legal issues.
You'll have that.
Right, but they let him enlist at 16. And then I don't know. There's not a whole lot on this, and this is just based off of what my uncle would tell me. But they fudged the numbers on black soldiers, and he was not on his paperwork, it doesn't say Negro or African American, or it doesn't say anything about being black. It says that he's Native American.
Oh, really?
And that's, yeah.
That's pretty
funky. So, I mean, even if you were to find any statistics, they're radically wrong. Like, they are so incredibly wrong. There's Native American in just about anybody's family. Like, if your family has been here longer than four generations, you're going to find something else in there, obviously.
For sure.
That's a thing. That's a thing. But, I mean, that's so far down the line. Like, my uncle looked black. You know, like, there's no, you know, maybe he's like a Mariah Carey kind of black. No, not at all. Like, he's definitely, like, he's Denzel Washington black. So, for them to put Native American on there, or not Native American, they used another term for Native American. They didn't say Native American. But yeah, it was...
Probably
was
indigenous.
Not, probably. But, yeah, they said, and it took it to several different people to get it changed, and they refused to change it. And they got his buddies like that. This is based off of what my uncle told me. I haven't looked into it or anything like that, but it just kind of popped in my head, like, I wonder if you could find any statistics on it, and how accurate would that be?
Yeah, I think you're right. They'd probably be wildly inaccurate.
Yeah.
So the next topic I wanted to talk about, I was embarrassed after I did research on it, because it's the Tuskegee experiment. And the first time I ever heard about this was in the movie Half-Baked, when he's trying to get some weed from the scientist guy. And he's like, shit, my grandpa was in the Tuskegee experiment. I thought that was funny. But when I do research about this, I'm like,
I had no clue either.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, dude. So lay it out. What is the Tuskegee experiments?
Okay, so it happened in Tuskegee, Alabama at John A. Andrew Hospital. An infamous and unethical clinical study conducted between 1932 and 1972 by the United States Public Health Service. So this is a 40-year study, and the purpose of this study was to observe the natural history of untreated syphilis. The African-American men in the study were told they were receiving free health care from the United States government. So they got them in under false pretenses, told them they were going to receive complete, you know, health care from the government.
And actually death insurance. So if they died, they'd have burial insurance.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So there were 600 African-American men from Macon County, Alabama, enrolled in the program. 199 died.
Yeah, I found this little factoid out there. 199 of the 600 flat out died from syphilis and syphilis-related, complications.
Yeah. And they, dude, that, like, what the fuck were we doing? Why did we do this? Because, like I said, I was embarrassed that I've laughed about this for so long. And then I realized what the hell actually happened. And I'm like, oh, my God.
This is mad scientism at its best, is what it is. This is a guy doing mad science. Long story short.
Right. You can only experiment with rats for so long before you have to move to human trials. And they just figured, hey. These are some great human experiments.
Yeah, that's what they thought. We have a whole disposable population right here. Let's whack them up with syphilis, not tell them what they're getting. And when they finally do, like, they get to the point whenever they figure out eventually along the lines that penicillin is a cure for syphilis.
It was in 1970 they figured out that penicillin worked. They still did not treat these patients.
They purposely kept it from them. And the ones they told they were getting it, either they flat out lied and didn't give it to them, or they gave them a placebo.
Yes, yeah.
And nobody got it. So 199 died. 40 of their wives were infected with syphilis, completely not related to the project, but they give it to the 40 of their wives. And 19 children were born out of these relationships with the disease syphilis. 19 people were brought into this world as a result of an experiment born with syphilis.
They told the African-American men that the study was only going to last for 6 months. But it actually lasted 40 years. After funding for treatment was lost, the study was continued without informing the men that they would never be treated. None of the men were ever told that they had the disease. None of them were treated with penicillin, even after this, what I was saying earlier, even after the antibiotic was proven to be successful to treat syphilis. According to the Centers for Disease Control, the men were told that they were being treated for bad blood, and that's in quotations. So can you imagine going to a doctor's office and be like, what's wrong with me, doc? Oh, you got bad blood, bud. You know, you got bad blood. What the fuck is that? Like, how you can't even tell people that shit. So specifically, the collection of illnesses, the bad blood term included, was a leading cause of death within the Southern African American community.
So it included syphilis, anemia, fatigue, very, very wild, different, you know, like, just your sick.
How the hell can you relate those? Right. Like you just feel like shit. And
it's bad blood, man.
Bad blood. But on May 16th, 1997, President Bill Clinton formally apologized on behalf of the United States to the victims of the experiment. About fucking time is all I can say about that. Like 40 years.
25 years after the experiment ended.
Yeah. I mean, I you know what I didn't look at and I should have? If these families could sue the government, have they sued them? And if not, can they? Because they fucking should.
They can't because I believe all 19 of those children have passed away, if I'm not mistaken. Now, that's definitely something that I'm going to have to look up and double check.
There's got
to
be a statute of limitations as well, I would assume, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
know, and man. Not only that, it would have to also be the people that were actually injected as opposed to their wives or their children. Mm-hmm. And those guys are, they're gone.
Yeah, that Tuskegee experiment was fucking terrible.
And you got to figure, this is the only, the Wiley one that people know about, the Wyatt experiment, the Wyatt example of, you know, basic mad science on the black population. There's got to be other.
It's not widely known, though, because I did not know that this was strictly African-American men. I did not know this.
Actually, let me drop down to another thing that I saw in your notes here that I found to be really fucking wild. Henrietta Lacks, the mysterious case of Henrietta Lacks.
This was Marissa wanted me to research this.
Did you research it at all?
A little bit.
So what she has, what are called the HeLa cell line, was she had immortal cells. So most people have caps on your DNA that every time your DNA split, you lose a little bit of this cap, and over time these protective caps break down, and that's what causes your cells to finally no longer be able to split and replicate. She had cancer, right? And whenever the doctor finally looked under the microscope, looked at her cancer cells, he found out these cells were wildly different than any cancer he has ever seen. So he took, without her permission, two cultures of cells from her. To this day, those cells have been used in more, you know, more medical experiments than almost anything else because they're still growing them, this woman's cells. She died eventually from cancer and all that. But and her family didn't even know they took the took these cultures of cells until many years later when researchers are still looking, you know, working on these. They contacted her grandchildren for interviews about the, you know, do you know about your grandma? Or none of them had any fucking clue.
No.
So this is
no. Actually, it was the doctor that had taken her blood had distributed it throughout all different medical centers across the world, and so her shit is like every fucking where, and. Somebody over in Europe fucked up one of their shit that they were fucking around with. I'm not an expert on all of these.
Oh, neither are we.
You don't get what we're trying to do here, Marissa.
We're having that water cooler conversation right here, Marissa. Bring it on.
Right. So he fucked his shit up, and so he came to America and found the doctor that had originally the one that extracted those cells. And wanted to get more. And so he's like, yeah, chick's dead, so you might want to go and hit up her kids. So they go up there, and they're trying to lure these people to a hospital. They give them some sort of bullshit, like, oh, yeah, we want to just do some shit. And then without very much, you know, coercion, because they're just like, no, like, what the fuck? You want my blood for why?
You want to do some shit? I ain't good enough.
Right. Right. That's not good enough. You're going to have to tell me more. And the
you
got
to tell
like,
him to fuck off, okay. Marissa, when he fucks with you like that. That's what I do.
But, yeah, no, he was like, so just to level with you, we took your mom's blood. And, you know, she's got some crazy shit out there, and we need some more. So let's take your shit. And they're like, what the fuck?
Wait, go back. Know, like, go back to the my mom thing. Have you say first of all. Hold on. And then we'll come back to the whole you want some of me. But you took my mom 27 years ago?
So I need clarification.
Yeah.
Her cells were special because, so like, if
they
I'm
were
to,
basically
hang on,
immortal.
If I'm to understand this right, the reason we age is because our cells die. They can no longer divide anymore.
So yeah, your DNA has caps on it that protect it from damage or whatever like that. And after every division, you lose a little bit of that cap. And eventually after it's gone, the cells can't reproduce anymore.
Okay. And now her cells could infinitely
reproduce. At least those cancer cells.
Oh, just the cancer cells.
My research is kind of shitty on this. Okay. I know for a fact it was at least her cancer cells, and it was more than likely all the cells in her body had that.
So then you don't have the answer to this. Would she have lived forever?
No. Oh, she's not living forever.
All right.
If that were the case, she would have aged.
No, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
No. But her blood could have really, well, I mean, probably has, you know.
No doubt. It's been used.
Contributed
in
a lot.
No doubt.
Yeah, but it's just, we don't even know how much, because not everything is made public, you know. That her blood could have the cure for AIDS, you know, and of course they're not going to fucking tell us, so. But yeah,
it was the first and one of the first immortalized cell lines. The first time they ever saw this as a possibility of like.
Can you imagine being the scientist that looks into that fucking microscope?
He immediately knew something was up.
What? These fuckers ain't dying.
So that's definitely something you guys ought to look into any which way. I mean, aside from the whole systemic racism thing, look into Henrietta Lacks and that whole situation. It's a very interesting read.
So the big question about her is whether her race affected her treatment. And the lack of obtaining consent. So, like, did they just not even worry about getting consent from her because she was black?
I got to start out with objection speculation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the question. I'm not speculating anything. I'm saying that's the big question here, whether her race played a role in her treatment and their lack of obtaining consent.
The direct question is, if she was white, would that shit have happened?
Right, yeah. Like, would they have done the same thing to her? Go ahead.
I don't think that had anything to do with her race. I think it had a lot to do with her gender. I think that because she was a female, that, you know, now if she were a black male, you know, it's probably still the same outcome. But I think with her being a female, that had a lot to do, way more than her being black.
I don't think anything had to do with race or gender to why they took it. I think if they would have saw that sample under any microscope, if it would have came from a monkey, you know what I mean, or it came from a cow. They would have kept that.
Yeah.
Now, where I think the racism or the misogynism that comes in here possibly is, would they have told or asked for consent from a male? They're taking it either which way.
Right.
From a white man, white woman, any other race. Would they have actually told them that they did it? Hey, we took your cells. They never gave her that you know, courtesy to say, hey, we're doing this.
Did they get
the
more bold because this was a woman and because she was African-American?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Know,
because both of those minorities back then were like, people, you know, like politicians, high business, you know, high class, the 1% didn't consider them equals to the regular people. So, like, did that play a part? Did it? She was a woman and she was black. We don't have to fucking ask her permission. I mean, I buy it 100%.
I mean, I don't know. I can't buy the 100% that it did happen, but I can 100% see that it could.
It could. Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
we don't know the answer to that, but I'm saying it could.
Yeah, and I'm sure that her being a black woman didn't help her chances.
Mm-mm.
So it may not have been like the sole reason, but it sure as shit did not fucking help.
Could not have helped. All right, moving on past the old Henrietta Lacks thing, which is another instance of the medical community taking advantage of the black community. But how about HIV and AIDS as a population reducer for the black community? A lot of interesting points made out about this. So, for instance, in the black community, apparently there's a negative attitude about condoms.
Yeah, but that ain't just the black community, bud. That's everybody.
Yeah.
Don't nobody want to use rubber. All right, never mind. Keep going. Off track. Sorry, go.
I'm just going to go through these points here, and we can discuss them as we go.
All right.
Homosexuality among men in prison. Most of them were child-producing age and would have sex in jail to catch HIV and die before they got out, and then they can't reproduce. So what they're saying is, I don't know what the fuck that point means. Anybody care to...
Yeah, I wrote that down. Maybe been high. I don't know. What it is like they, you know, like homosexuality in prison. So they go to prison at a young age of child producing age.
Oh,
they contract HIV.
This isn't necessarily anti-black, but this is anti-homosexual to put people or anybody.
It's just a contributor. Not even so much that this part was set up. This particular point was a set up thing. But this is just a contributor.
Just adds to it, so to
speak. Because they were of, you know, like 17 to 21, man. What are you doing there? You fucking at that age, right? You know, no. So they put these guys in prison. And,
knowing that there's probably going to be gay sex. Knowing that they'd likely catch this disease.
Yeah, but you can claim, what do you claim? You can claim, not my fault when you know what I mean, if you don't directly do it.
Right, sure. So we put them in the position that it could happen. And again, as you'll see as we talk about this subject today, none of these instances are flat out, you know, flags to say, hey, here's proof of systemic racism.
Well, I don't know, man. Fucking Tuskegee experiments is pretty fucking flat out, bud.
No, that doesn't prove systemic racism, though. It is one instance. It is the continuing and the multitude of these different little I say, happenings that really start to paint the picture of what we're talking
about. Well, what about all the lynchings and shit?
Well, that's not so little. But
right, that's what I'm saying. Like, so.
But,
Coupled with
things
everything.
Things like that are obvious. That's not even systemic racism. That's just flat-out racism and fucking crackers running around hanging people. My point is, it's the stuff you don't see. It's like the problems in the school system. You know, whenever we go through these little pieces of the numbers we're going to go through here really kind of paint the picture. It's not the obvious shit like the hangings and the KKK burning crosses in the yards. That's not systemic racism.
Right. You're right. I think what we're more talking about is...
is why, like, a person can walk down the street and the first thing they feel when they see a black person is maybe I'm going to cross the road.
Yeah, that, proper fucking ganda.
When it's programmed racism, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And is that part of the entirety or just another part of this whole systemic issue that we're having here in America? But anyway, let's keep going on the HIV here.
So according to a 1999 study funded by the National Institutes of Health, one out of four African Americans surveyed said that they believed HIV was created by the United States government to eliminate blacks. The study echoed the findings of an earlier one by the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. I don't know if I put a lot of stock in them guys, but which found that 54% of blacks surveyed viewed HIV testing as a ploy to infect them with the virus. Damn.
They got some conspiracy-minded people in the community there.
Hey, but you know, I can get behind that. I like conspiracy. I like
conspiracy too, but it's the same thing you'll see all the time when people just like, oh, I bet that's why they do this. You know what I mean? Oh, they're getting us down there to not just test us.
Speculation without evidence, right? Right.
That's okay. The shit I always buck back against. But it's interesting that that's what they believe.
Look at those numbers and the truth stares back at you. Believing conspiracies is far from fringe. So in 1990, appearance on the Arsenio Hall show, rapper Kool Moe Dee stated that he thought AIDS was a part of a Clean Up America campaign intended to hit gays and minorities. Now, he is not the only one famous rapper or even famous prominent African-American figure to say that they believe AIDS was created like that and it's directly to impact the black community.
I mean...
Again, yeah, plenty of people have come out and said that.
I mean, hell, there's the theory that what's his name killed Eazy-E with the needle AIDS. You know what I mean?
Who
they got in a fight. Who was it? I don't know if it was Suge. There's a big theory out there that
somebody just jabbed him.
Jabbed him with a needle. Yeah, had AIDS. You know, well, while they were fighting or something.
Again, it doesn't really go with the whole theme of what we're talking about. But
yeah, well, I'm scatterbrained, so
fair enough. I'll leave it at that.
Adding in onto the involvement of homosexuality among black men, it was highly, highly, highly taboo subject brought up within the black community. So, like, being gay along with any mental illnesses, that was kind of thought of as a Caucasian affliction or white folks' problems. Like,
for sure.
So it was pretty much like black folk ain't gay, is what they were kind of saying.
Dude, right. There's an episode of Law and Order SVU that fucking totally perfectly explains your point right here. And it's these black men didn't consider themselves gay. They were called what was on the down low, and they would have sex with other men. And but they didn't they didn't want that to impact the way they felt about themselves as a strong black man that takes care of his family, that goes to work.
So they were deluding themselves.
So just because they went and had sex with a dude on Friday night, that was just on the that was down low shit. That doesn't mean they're gay.
That don't count.
Right. But do you remember really? Like, it's crazy. It stands out in my mind because I probably haven't seen it in 5 years.
What was that from?
It's Law and Order SVU.
Huh. I should have watched it.
Yeah, it was a good episode because Finn's son is gay in the show. Finn, Ice-T. Yeah, his son is gay in the show. And it's like, you know, he's trying to cope with all that.
So, right. And I mean, like that episode that you're talking about, it put that very, very mildly. And I'll give an example. So I have a sister and I have a brother. I have two brothers and a sister. My sister is a bitch. She's like, she's mean. She was really like, she was super horrible to us. But she used to make my brother put on a wig and put on like my mom's clothes and high heels and go and check the mail.
What? I dressed up as mama for Halloween one fucking time. What are you talking about?
Not for fun?
I mean, I guess it was for fun.
So there you go.
All right. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
she would make him dress up and go and check the mail whenever his friends were outside just to embarrass him. She was sadistic. But once she had him do that, and my dad came home early from work. Now, my dad, he taught psychology at MTSU. Like, he's a very reserved guy. He doesn't... I mean, like, if he... We didn't get whoopings. He would just yell, and we would automatically, like, our asses would just be red for no reason. Because, you know, like,
yeah, he's gone. Boot hold on a second, Marissa. We gotta, we're banning him. Somebody here.
You're done, Paul.
Do what?
I gotta ban somebody from the chat. He done.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
All right, continue on. Go ahead.
I'm not even in the chat.
Yeah, don't even worry about it. Asshole and an idiot. Okay. Continue.
All right. Well, so, you know, all he did was just, you know, would just yell at us. But anyhow, he came home early from work that day and saw my brother walking down the driveway. He beat the holy hell out of my brother for that.
Wow.
Beat the dog shit out of him. I mean, like, I had never seen my dad that angry before. Like, I can count on one hand how many times I've ever seen my dad, like, super pissed. But that was definitely
straight triggered
one of
him.
He beat them. Yeah, like, because you're a black man and you're not supposed to be out there doing silly shit like that. And, you know, like, that was, in even with as calm of a person as he was, that was still, that it's so deeply seated within the black community that it's just kind of like, you know, it would be normal to see a grown man beating the shit out of a little kid for dressing up like a female, you know, like that. It was just, it's so taboo. It is so taboo.
I'm going to toss on though, to be fair, you'll see that in any, I would say, not just black, but any low income, like white families, all the time you'll hear like I have family members say, if my kid turns out gay, I'm going to disown him. That
right,
sort of shit. You
right,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people just from that era don't play that. You know what I'm saying? So to speak, they don't play it.
Yeah.
But I get the whole, you know, the whole situation. But again, I don't think that's a completely just a black thing, but I get the picture you're painting here.
Yeah. And I mean, coupled with the fact that, that's just not something that you talk about, mm-hmm. then you get a lot of issues, you know. You grow up thinking, like, okay, I'm not supposed to be, you know, gay because whatever, but, you know, I have these fucking feelings, and then what the fuck am I supposed to do with them, you know? Mm-hmm. And that keeps people from being open about themselves. And so when you're having sex with strange men, you know, all over town, and you're just trying to keep that hush, you know, shit can happen. Like, as opposed to, okay, I'm openly gay and I'm only going to sleep with openly gay men, and we're both going to be responsible and get tested and make sure that, you know, we're both clean. You know, that's one way of going about it, but it's one of those types of things. And I wanted to address mental illness, like, really quickly though. That's another major issue too. Within the black community, a lot of people don't talk about mental illness. And, but yeah, that just pretty much goes
in reference to what, Marissa, as far as like mental illness, like what do you mean? Like, a lot of people don't talk about that. I'm literally curious, cause I have no idea.
Okay.
Are you referring to like, as it pertains to like being gay, or I don't understand, you know what I mean? I'm just looking for some context.
No, I just two separate things. Like, those are just two things that we didn't talk about. So say if, you
for
know,
sure.
One kid in a large family should have been diagnosed as autistic. Most black people, families wouldn't even take their child to go and get diagnosed. They would just pass it off as he's slow.
Oh, right.
Again, the pride of, like, I wouldn't have produced a less than adequate child?
Right.
Okay,
right.
That makes sense.
Exactly. And I'll give a personal example. I have a cousin. He's developmentally delayed.
Sure.
And he's in his early 20s now, but his mother has never taken him anywhere. My both of my parents are educators. They're both, you know, super into, like, if something's wrong, let's fucking fix it. Otherwise, it's going to be a major problem in the long run. Let's, you know, pinpoint the problem and get it handled. He was never treated or anything. He's still staying with my grandmother, and he has to have help getting to and from his different jobs, but he still hasn't been diagnosed. And I mean, honestly, he's high functioning, but if he were to have been diagnosed and treated at an earlier age, once we noticed something was up with him, then he wouldn't have the life that he does right now. But that's a normal thing. It's a normal thing within the Black community.
So do you think this Black pride of not wanting to admit a shortcoming is something that's systemic and been programmed in possibly by, you know, the patriarchy or quote unquote white America, for instance?
I think that this pride comes directly from being disenfranchised for so long. So you've got Black women who have been over and over raped and had to watch their fathers and their uncles and their sons and their brothers being killed in these horrible, terrible ways. You've got this group of people that have been down for so long and they're finally starting to piece shit together. In their mind, they don't want to think I've produced it, something that's less than, or that I am, you know, I'm different in any other way. This is really hard to explain.
I completely understand. Like, they have a pride in themselves.
But I wonder how exclusive that is to the Black community. I think I've seen that plenty in the Hispanic community.
Well,
the
you're
white
right, but that, we're not talking about them right now. We're talking about how it pertains to this. And I say that they have a pride in how they are supposed to be according to the rest of the community.
Right,
that's only
relevant if we're talking about if that condition, the condition of that sort of pride, was systemically put upon them by systems put in place. Was it the
system make them think that
exactly.
they should
is
feel
that,
like that?
Is that my point?
Over generations.
Exactly my point. Did we program them? Did society itself, through whatever means, program them?
I wouldn't think
them?
That was intentional. I'm going to guess. Now here I'm just shooting from the hip here, but I think that because of slavery and then the what do they call it, segregation that happened in the early 1900s, that whenever it was finally, you know, I don't want to say acceptable, but fucking not demonized to be a Black man in America, they tried to take a pride standpoint of now that they're equal, they wanted to be, you know what I mean? What do you think, Marissa? Do you think I'm on the right track there, that because of all of the downfalls that they had suffered, that now that they had their chance, they wanted to try to, you know, they wanted to look at themselves and want others to look at them as a strong Black man that takes care of his family, that, you know what I mean?
Right. I believe you're 100% on the right track. You know, that, like, okay, I really quickly, back to another personal, anecdote here.
Yeah, for sure.
My grandfather, he owned a barber shop in Memphis. And when my dad was 2 years old, or not two, in the second grade, when my dad was in the second grade, he said he wanted to shine shoes at my grandfather's barber shop. And so my grandfather gave him some seed money and he started doing that. Told him you couldn't quit, like you can never quit. All throughout elementary school, middle school, high school, my dad had to work at the barbershop every single day, except for Sundays after school until 9 p.m. You couldn't go to any baseball games, football games, none of that shit. Couldn't go to prom. Didn't have like a normal childhood. He had to work. And that's a normalized thing. I can speak for my family. I can't speak for anybody else's family, but in my family, that's like a normal thing. You get out there, you start working as soon as you can pick something up. You can pick some shit up and you can start fucking counting money. That's when you need to get your ass to work. And you work and you put food on the table and you save your fucking money and you be a fucking man.
That's the way it was in our family.
Right, yeah. I mean, honest, I've held that belief myself. You know, I'm a prideful fucking person, mm-hmm. and everything I've gotten on my own. And I, you know, like mm-hmm. to be able to say I take care of mine. Everything I got, I earned. You know what I mean? And I guess,
exactly.
So like I said, I kind of identify with what the feeling that they're feeling there, that they don't want to go. Not that I
think
like dudes or whatever, but I feel like.
Well, I think what you're going to see is a lot of these issues are sure, black problems, but they're lower class, low income problems. You know what I mean? People are patriotic people. We're proud people.
Yeah. To be honest, the difference between low income white people and black people as far as systemic things go, it's...
You're wrong.
Uh-oh. But okay. Well, tell me then. Hit me.
We have a lot of... Because we don't have, like... You'll see a lot of stuff like Frank brought up in the chat about white privilege, and a lot of white people don't think that there's a such thing as white privilege.
There totally is.
Right, and they can't see, like, sorry, I'm going to throw one of our good friends under the bus here who grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood, and in his views was victimized and bullied by black people. So he doesn't see himself having grown up with a white privilege. But that's not what white privilege is.
Right.
White privilege is... to be, when you're being pulled over by a cop, to not have one of the first thoughts, you know, this is one example, to first thoughts like, fuck, I am in trouble just because I am black. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't have that instant worry. Or well, to know that when you walk into a store that if something gets stolen instantly, that it's more or less they're gonna look at the black person as the first probable suspect.
Right. Not only that, but like I've seen plenty of videos when they pull black men over, they draw their gun to come to the window. They don't do that for a white guy, and that exactly right there is white privilege.
Right.
It's not something you willingly participate in. You know what I mean? It's
right.
It's not something you had to be given.
Oh, wait. Hey, sorry. Go ahead, Marissa.
No, not even like actually stealing anything. Not even even if you're in a store and nothing gets taken. Just
dirty
being
looks.
Followed around.
Yeah, yeah.
The entire time that you're there.
Right.
You know, like that's.
Go ahead.
That's definitely something that not everybody experiences. You know, I can go to a store with a white friend of mine and, you know, we're both being followed and she's like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm sitting here like, oh, you don't get followed?
Right, because to be completely honest, most white people are really oblivious to the fact of what goes on in the lives of African Americans, man.
You can't know,
you know what I mean,
unless you've lived it or have sat and talked with people who have had these issues and have them explained to you.
Yep.
And you got to, for the most part, unless you're an asshole, you could sit and listen to this and instantly see what they're talking about. But a lot of people will sit back and go, oh, yeah, that's not a real fucking problem.
Yeah, but,
you know, why don't you get good, kid, and fucking not, you know, rise above.
Yeah.
It's hard, though, from a fucking beginning of your life to have these.
Well, and don't even look at it like, look kind of, and here's just a different way to look at it. Not the right way, but you can look at it as not what they aren't getting, but what we're ahead.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Look at it this way. Like it's not a head start. White people don't have a head start. It's more like the black people have to take a step back from the starting line.
Right. Yeah. They're automatically at a disadvantage. Right. And yeah. And that's right. And that, like I said, that's not something, you know, if you're one of the people that's like, oh, white privilege isn't a thing. That's not something that.
And it's not everywhere a thing.
No, but it's not something that you can participate in. You didn't do this on purpose, but it is fucking definitely there. There is a bias.
Which is exactly
the
systemic racism problem in America. You know what I mean? Whenever it's instant like that. And it nobody means for it to happen. It's just a byproduct of how we lived,
of
how
our
we've
society.
Been taught. You know, what we see in movies, what we see on TV that has programmed us to automatically more or less fear and treat black people suspect in these types of situations.
Which is unfair.
Right.
100% unfair.
And briefly going back to the my grandfather's barber shop and whatnot, the whole thing about that is, you know, and I know you guys are saying, you know, that's the way that you guys were brought up and everything. But you got to understand, my dad was born in the 40s.
Sure.
And so... For him and for my grandfather, it was like, we are every bit as good as white men.
Yeah.
You just got to, they work hard, you got to work hard. There's no reason why, you know, you should be getting any kind of handouts for anything. Like, you're just as good, and so you're going to have to work too.
Yeah, so not only that, it's a thought of you're going to work as hard as the white guy. Now, fuck that, you're going to work twice as hard.
Yeah, and I get that. Like, you want to be better than the next guy. You know what I mean? And
right.
for a black man, that was being better than the white guy that's got the same job as you, because you got to, it's not that you got to prove, but you want to.
Well,
you
think
feel
about it
that
time
you need
too,
to.
How these days, it may not be as in your face as you would think racism is, but in those days, racism was very much in your face.
Oh, you couldn't drink from the same water fountain. There's fucking 100 million examples of racism back then. You
right.
know what I mean? Schools.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
No, yeah, you guys are... Spot on.
Yeah, so for reference, I actually asked Marissa before we did the show, I said, due to ignorance of the culture and other things, like, I don't want you, if you hear me making a generalization or a stereotype of any sort, check me. Because I'm not immune to, you know, that
making
as well.
Making stupid statements?
Yeah, making stupid statements. I'm
no,
not,
you're
totally not.
Not.
Everett's caught me on this show many times generalizing. Mm. about Jewish people and you know what I'm saying? So like, it's not, that is no different than you know what I mean?
And you know what? It wasn't a problem and you didn't think,
I didn't think it was a problem, and that's the fucking issue. You know what I mean? Because no one really sees.
Because everywhere you look, you got all these people telling you this, this, or that. And this is the way you could think, and it's all right to think that way until you really start to think about the generalizations you're doing. You're saying every one of a type of person.
Exactly.
And that's not fair.
Fuck no, it ain't.
It's like to say that every redheaded person is Irish. I mean, again, that's not a bad thing at all, but it's the point of just saying.
They don't have a soul.
Because A equals this, it must be B.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously, like, redheaded people don't have souls.
Yeah, gingers, for sure. They're scary. Yeah.
But at the same time, though, guys, like, I don't want you guys to feel like you have to censor yourself. I mean, a lot of, and me and Eric, we were talking about this.
I haven't felt censored at all. I just want, I don't want to come off as an asshole and an idiot.
Right, no. And I haven't noticed anything that was, you know, I haven't noticed anything.
And I would expect you to check us if you did. I would expect you to check us if you did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, I think that the more people have these types of conversations about race, the easier it's going to get and the less offended people are going to get.
Get offended every time race is brought up. There's just no way around
it. Yeah, for sure. So, hey, Marissa, we're going to stretch this into two parts and probably do it again next week with the rest of what we have on involuntary sterilization of black women, the crack epidemic in urban neighborhoods. But I wanted to finish out the show this week with a couple of different things. Experiences dealing with racism. So, like, personally, me, you, Everett, if we've ever had any experience with that. And then also, what can we as white dudes do to help or at least not contribute to this problem that society has?
Oh, all right.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of people are oblivious to the fact that this is a thing. So, like,
Sherry gave a good example, walking around the store with her white friend and her white friend not understanding why they're being
exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, like, what can we as white dudes or even the white population that is genuine about this and that
can help us understand
that? Yeah, like, what can we do to not contribute to this problem or to even help?
Okay, so what I'm about to say is going to sound really fucking simple.
Yeah.
But like,
I thought you were about to say it's going to sound really racist. I'm like, oh, shit.
I like she says simple. You'll understand it.
Oh, fuck you, Everett. Go ahead.
No, it's super simple, but it eludes a lot of people. Just treat other black people the exact same way that you would treat another white person. For example, okay. My kids are biracial, and my oldest son, he's more like less Halle Berry biracial, more Mariah Carey biracial.
Oh, okay. Light skin, and, right?
Yeah. And he's got this, so not to offend anybody, we call it a Jufro. Like, it's not like my hair. It's nothing like my hair at all.
It's more curly?
But not even curly, really. I mean, a Jewish person's hair would be a lot more curlier than his. It used to be, but now it's like...
You're generalizing about Jewish people.
Oh, got him.
I did it. I was the one that did it.
Then it's I guess.
Oh, no, he's fucking with you.
I'm just kidding with you.
It's more on that level, like, I guess, Greek hair. It's very, very thick, very, very full, but not kinky, coily like mine or any of my other kids. Okay, so, and it's dirty blonde, and it's different. It's different, okay? So, but it's, like, super poofy, and he has a fuck ton of hair. He's got a lot of hair. The main problem that I have with people, with white people, is they come up and pet him like he's a fucking animal.
Oh, my God.
Oh, your hair is so great. Oh, my God. I love your hair. It's so da, da, da. And it's like, and it irritates him. And earlier this school year, we moved to a new town, and he's going to a new school. And he told me one of the first couple of days of school that one of his teachers had done that. And I was like, you have to speak up, honey. You have to tell people, don't pet me. I'm not a fucking animal. Like, I'm not a dog. Don't pet me. You wouldn't pet another white person, would you? Like, why do you think it's okay to come up and pet me? And that same shit would happen to me. Like, I went to a lot of predominantly white schools, and people will come up and do that. And it's like, dude, this is personal space here. Like, what are you doing? It's not okay to come up and pet someone. So, you know, just things like that.
I'd be pissed if some asshole trying to come up and pet me. I don't have any special reason for people to come up and pet me, I don't think. Either which way, I'd be like, get your fucking hands off
They'd
me.
Be like, oh, you little portly guy, Everett. Come here, let me rub your belly.
Yeah, that's... I'd be mad about that, I'm just saying.
Right, yeah, see?
Don't fucking touch me.
But like, I mean, so generally, though, is there something we can do? Do we need to just try to be more aware? And I'm asking genuinely because there's other people out there that feel like I do that maybe don't recognize the issue fully, but know that there's something. You know what I mean?
As far as like... racism or white privilege goes or white saviorism. And I actually have an episode about white saviorism and white privilege.
Oh,
but,
nice. I'll have to listen to that.
That sounds pretty cool. Savior, do you mean by somebody who likes to swoop in and be the protective white person?
Yeah, like a social justice warrior, right. But somebody that like...
Right.
Okay, yeah. For
interesting. And I consider
that. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, when it comes to just not being an asshole, just don't be an asshole. But as far as like black issues are concerned, you can definitely be, you know, in the corner and, you know, cheer on. But like with black issues, we need to be able to settle that amongst ourselves. You know what I mean? We don't need anyone to step in and, you know, we don't need you, Bono, like, to go and save Africa. Like,
for sure. I was
Bono.
More referring to, like, how they cannot, how can we not contribute to...
Let me give you a little advice.
Oh, okay.
Whenever, if you hear somebody say Black Lives Matter, don't the first thing come out of your mouth say All Lives Matter. That's pretty fucking
I have a really honest. Good. I have a really good statement on that entire thing. That's like kids sitting at the table, at the dinner table, and the kid says... Mm-hmm. To the dad, I'm hungry, let me get the food. And the dad says, well, we're all hungry. That doesn't negate the fact that that kid's hungry and needs to eat, and that there is an issue right there by saying, well, we're all hungry. You know what I mean?
Right. Or even going to someone else's funeral and saying, why are you all crying for this man? My father died too 3 years ago, so why aren't you guys crying for him? Well, that may be true, son, but... That is not the topic of today. Today is the topic of this man that has passed away. We can go and honor your father at another time, but right now the issue is this. So, yeah, absolutely. And I want to put this out there really quick. Okay, I am not the Marissa Johnson that helped start the Black Lives Matter movement.
Oh, no shit. That there guy's name is – that's the same – that's – no way. You are that person then, or no?
I'm so honored.
I am not.
Man, it's great that we got you on the show.
I have gotten so much hate mail.
Oh, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's fucking insane. But I'll respond back to these people like, hey, I'm not this chick, but let's talk about this. Like, what is your fucking issue here? Like, what's your problem that you think that you can just go to a random person and cuss them out over some dumb shit? Like, why did you feel the need to take time out of your day to cuss me out, a person that you even got wrong? Like, let's sit down and talk this out. And I'll do that. I'll do that every single time that I get some, oh, fuck you, bitch.
That gives me a great idea.
Like,
why don't we, are you free next Friday to come back and finish this up with us?
Absolutely.
Why don't we start a thread on the group and fucking, I don't want to say free for all.
Open doors.
Let's get some talking points in there and just see what, you know, on both sides of the subject or every side of the subject, not just black and white.
If you're going to comment, though, please try not to be an asshole, but make your point. But don't be an asshole.
Yeah, don't give us a reason to start cleaning house. But
right.
But at the same time, y'all know I like to cuss people out, so it's fine.
So yeah, let's get back together next Friday. We'll finish this off. I still have all my points that were I found to be really quite interesting.
Yeah. Oh, we've got another show in what we've got still for sure. But I also wanted to ask one thing if we could share, if you didn't mind sharing, because I have one myself. An instance that you've dealt with racism on a personal level from another person directly at you, you know, to you.
I've gotten several, but one of the first. Okay, so I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I moved to Tennessee. Yeah, we moved to Tennessee when I was pretty young, and I ended up going to elementary school here. And one of the first, let me see, I was in the third grade, and I was shit at math. I still am shit at math. I can't do math to save my fucking life. But we were going over multiplication facts, and I could not get, I think it was my sevens. And my teacher, Miss Barbara, she called me up to her desk, and she was like, I don't understand why you can't get this. She said, what did she say? Fuck. She said, I don't understand why you can't get this. It's not that hard. You're just another dumb nigger.
Oh, and that was your teacher that said that?
That was my teacher. Man. That was my teacher.
She needed to be instantly fired.
Fuck, fired, yeah. Get her ass kicked too.
Well, here's the thing. I had never heard that word before. And I didn't know what it meant.
Really?
I could tell context clues it wasn't a great thing.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, you knew what dumb meant, though.
Did you go home and talk to your parents about it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. And my dad came to the school. No, both my parents came to the school.
As they should.
And and they wanted her fired. Now, they didn't come up and cause a scene like I would have. And to be honest with you, I have gone to my kids' schools and I have caused scenes.
Guilty.
They didn't do that. They were, very calm about it. And they went to the school board and they could not get her fired.
That's
they
fucked.
Could not get her fired.
What year is this, if you don't mind me asking? It's going to allude to your age a little bit, but what, I mean, when, what?
No, yeah. I'm roughly y'all's age. This is in the early 90s.
Early 90s. That's fucked that stuff still happens.
Yeah. And after everything was said and done, I don't know if she was, no, she wasn't fired. She was not fired. They said that they could switch me to another class. And my parents were really pissed about that. And they were like, fuck you. We're going to transfer her to a different school. And they did. So,
wow, that's fucking insane.
But yeah.
It's infuriating, honestly.
Yeah.
So absolutely. And then, go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Finish. I was going to, finish.
Yeah. No, after that, they explained to me, and I remember being, I was young, but I'm the type of person that, I can't grasp things unless I experience them or I do it. I physically do it or experience that. And so when they're telling me all of this, and this incident was the first time I watched Roots. They made me watch Roots. But
that's a good movie.
Like, it is a good movie.
I watched that. Yeah. We watched that when we were kids, didn't we ever? Yeah.
Like all 28 hours.
Fucking LeVar Burton, baby. Got his foot cut off. There was a bunch of shit that happened. That was a crazy movie.
Yeah. It was a good movie, though. But they were trying to explain it to me, and I'm just kind of like, I don't get it. Like, why would someone not, why would somebody feel that way about me simply because of the color of my skin?
It still boggles my mind.
That
still boggles my mind how people can, just because of the color of your skin, instantly have a problem.
Right, the melatonin. And,
like, you come up talking like an asshole, I'm going to have an instant problem with you. But you come up looking a little dark, I'm not going to be going, hey, this guy's probably a fucking dickhead right off the bat.
Right, so I have two things, Marissa. I wanted to share my story about racism, and then I also wanted to ask you a question, but I don't want you to answer it till I'm done.
All right, we got about five more minutes. We got to get out of here.
Okay, so do you think that racism exists in black people towards whites or other races? And I'll let you explain yourself fully after, but I wanted to tell you. So, like, I used to work at an IHOP in North St. Louis, and I was the only white employee there. And, I was 19, 20 years old. I was a young kid, and so I ended up I was the manager, and this lady came up to me and wanted free food or whatever the case was. I honestly can't remember, but I declined. I told her, no, your food's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And she was like, you redneck rescue ranger, fucking white boy. And her boyfriend was like literally wanting to fight me over me not giving them food. And they kept saying, white ass. I mean, so it was like, I don't think that, like, it didn't hurt my feelings or nothing, but I could see, like, wow, man, fucking hate me. What'd I do?
Yeah. So to answer that question, absolutely. Everyone, and I learned this in one of my psych classes. I have a degree in clinical psychology. One of the things that I have learned is everyone has a prejudice against something, not necessarily racism, but a prejudice. And yes, it is absolutely plausible for it's a thing. Like,
is it common
by people who are racist? And it's more common. It's common, but it's more accepted, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
Fair. I said that's fair. Yeah, I just wanted to know, like, yeah. If
it's on both sides. You got people
totally. But that's the point
that
I'm trying to make.
Becky with the white or the good hair or whatever, that right there is systemic racism against whites. Right?
It's really bad. I mean, when I introduced my oldest son to my grandmother, who is the same shade as my kid. And really fucking weird because she's not only black, but when I first introduced him, he was a baby, but like he was super bright, and she was like, oh, I thought he'd come out black. And I was like, well, no, he's biracial, grandma. And she was like, oh, that's so sad. Oh. And just handed him back to me.
That's the same thing that old school parents tell their kids, you know, you better not bring a black girl home. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like, that it does exist on both sides. So that's just, I don't know, that's kind of crazy, man. And I just didn't know if it was as prevalent, because obviously even if a lot of black people were racist towards white people, it really wouldn't, I don't think that in today's society it would oppress the population of white people, much like if white people are you know, undifferent to like how if white people are racist to black people, that does oppress them. You know, they're like basically shoving them down. But I don't know. I'm trying to make a point over nothing here. I just didn't know if racism.
It's food for thought. I get where you're at. Let's put a pin in it right here. We'll come back next week. And we'll finish this out. Maybe racist jokes next week.
No, hell no. Yeah. Hell no. What are you talking about?
I'm kidding.
But you know, those are the funny ones. Even like people, you know, never mind.
Well, if you go to the stuff white people like Twitter, that's racist jokes.
Oh, that stuff white people like Twitter is great.
Or on Reddit, black people Twitter.
Oh yeah, Reddit does have the black people Twitter. Yeah.
Anyway, check those things out. Yeah, anyway,
go look up some hashtag black Twitter. Oh my god.
That's where they. That's exactly where they pull those this for the feed.
It's fucking funny.
Yeah, there's good stuff there.
All right, Marissa, thanks for coming on again today, for being a listener for all these last couple years, one of our best and most favorite listeners.
We appreciate you.
Aww.
Say the least.
I appreciate you guys too.
Oh, thank you. But again, we'll see you next week. Thanks for coming on. For everybody in the YouTube, thanks for joining us as always.
Hit us with an email at info@surrealtalkpodcast.com. Join the Facebook group. We're going to get the thread up later today. We probably will pin it. It might be tomorrow, though, to be honest, about different talking points. If you'd like to hear us talk about something with Marissa and internally about racism, systemic racism, anything. So, yeah, put it up. We'll give her a shot and talk about it next week. But next week, we're also going to hit the oh shit, what was it?
He done forgot. Well, let me take a little bit of a different turn here.
The involuntary sterilization of black women. Go ahead.
Oh, there you go. I want to remind people to check out Yo Radio, yoradio.com. It's our online streaming radio provider.
Plug.
I'm starting our that conspiracy station. It's scheduled to launch January 28th. We're calling it Rabbit Hole Radio. I've got something like 20 shows already signed onto it, with more of them already being onboarded. So again, January 28th, check out Rabbit Hole Radio on yoradio.com. You can download.
Now, will that be a full 24 hours every day of conspiracy podcasts?
Yes, it will.
Wow.
All right, boy, that was the fakest thing
I know.
Did.
That was cool, though. I thought it was funny.
Now, it ought to be a pretty good time. Like I said, about 20 or so different conspiracy podcasts of every topic and genre you can imagine all day long. So join us with that. Otherwise, we'll see you next week back on Surreal Talk. Again, thanks, Marissa. See you guys later.
Please. Wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
I'm mad as hell! I'm not going to take it anymore!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.